We'd like you to turn to the second chapter of 1 Corinthians and join us in our study of this wonderful book on church truths. This book tells us more about what God would have his people to do collectively in this present church age than in any other place in the New Testament. Verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you at Corinth, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you," the accent is on the word you, "save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. And here's the reason, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now, he had already told us, and later on he enlarges upon this, that the Corinthians were very much taken up with sign gifts and with demonstrations of wisdom. They loved to hear great flights of oratory. But Paul said, "I don't want you to believe what you believe because I said it, because you were convinced by the power of a man's persuasion. I want you to believe these things because God's word says it." And so among them he could preach nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. In our day, I think there is a great deal of Corinthianism. I think there's a great deal of carnality, as he speaks of it in the close of this chapter, in the beginning of chapter 3. And I think that today, more than ever, we need to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. We need to get down to the foundational truths. We need to be sure that our listeners believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to the salvation of the soul, that they understand that the Lord Jesus died for them and rose again. They were not ready for anything else. Howbeit, in verse 6, he says, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or full-grown." These Corinthians were not full-grown. They were very immature. And when Christians grow up, as he says in Ephesians chapter 4, when they get out of their babyhood, as he tells us in the 5th chapter of Hebrews, so that they no longer have to be fed milk all the time, that's the simple things of the truths of the Bible, then, he says, we speak wisdom among them. Not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, this is not to say that Christianity is mysterious. It's simply that there were truths that were not known in the Old Testament, and truths that were not even revealed to the early apostles, which were given to the Apostle Paul that he might make known the mysteries of the church. He enlarges upon this in the 3rd chapter of Ephesians. These things, he says, God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The world did not recognize the Lord Jesus. The world still does not recognize that God is doing a work here in this world, that he is taking out from among both Jews and Gentiles a people for his name's sake. And these wonderful truths concerning the church, Paul had not been able to teach the Corinthians, and he proceeds to try to do so after he sets right some of the things that are not right in their lives. How have you progressed since you received Christ as your Savior? Are you learning something of what God is doing? Do you understand his present work? Or are you just here trying to improve this poor, cursed world? God never left his people here to try to purify the stream of time, but to catch fish out of it, someone has said. Our job is to win men and women to Christ. God is taking out of this world a people for his namesake, and one of these days he's going to take us out bodily. Now, he says the princes of this world do not understand. This doesn't mean simply the political rulers, but the intelligentsia, the eggheads, we say today, the highly intellectual people simply do not grasp what God has for them. And he tells us the reason. In the preceding chapter, he says that many of these are not given these truths, are not taught these things, cannot understand them, simply because they depend on their own wisdom. Now, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of Glory. What a wonderful name for our Savior. He was crucified in dishonor, but he is really the Lord of Glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And don't stop there. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The wisdom of this world is contrasted with God's wisdom. Now the trend in our day is to depend more and more upon human intelligence. And men set themselves up to test the Bible by their own intellect. And this is all wrong. What you and I ought to do is to submit to the Word of God and to learn what God has for us. It is simply impossible for human beings to imagine all that God has prepared for those who love Him. And those who love Him are those who have been loved by Him. We love Him because He first loved us. We love Him because we have believed the love of God and we have received Christ as our Savior. And now he tells us that he has revealed these things unto us by his Spirit. Beginning with the fourth verse, the Holy Spirit is mentioned seven times in this short chapter. And this is to impress upon us that God gives us his wisdom, not by the route of human education, valuable as that may be. The only way that you can know God's things is by his Holy Spirit. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now he tells us in verses 11 to 13 that we understand each other because we all have human spirits. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? I understand how you feel, you understand how I feel, because we both have human spirits. Well, he says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. How are you going to understand God's things unless you have God's Spirit within you? A horse can't understand a man. He may understand the tone of his voice and know how to do what he's told, but they couldn't sit down and have a good talk about things. And you don't need to expect to understand God or God's things until you are born of the Spirit. When you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes within to teach us, to guide us, to lead us in his ways. And we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Verse 12 says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So we know these things by the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. Now Paul says these are the things that we speak. Verse 13, not the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Learn to do this. Learn to compare one part of the Scripture with another. Don't take one verse, isolate it from all the rest, and build up a doctrine on this, but compare all of the Scripture on a given subject, and the Holy Spirit will lead you then to understand these things. Now he tells us in the closing verses that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Natural here means one who has not been born again. The way you were born into this world, in your natural state, you are totally incapable of understanding the things of the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The new birth is absolutely essential. And we are born again by receiving Christ as Savior. He tells us in John 1 and 12. These things are foolishness unto the natural man, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth, same word, discerns all things, yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. An unsaved man can't understand a Christian. They say, well, I just don't see it. I don't know how you can say you see these things. But neither could a blind man understand how a seeing man can be sure of these things. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? That is, who could possibly understand God's mind? Could you reason this out? Could you say this is the way God thinks? There are men and women who set themselves up as judges of God and say, well, I don't think God ought to do this, and I don't want to have anything to do with the God who does that. But, of course, this is sheer folly. How else could you know the mind of God except through the Spirit of God, which is given to us? And so he concludes the chapters by saying, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, he's speaking here of believers, and all believers. He says this to the Corinthians, who were not very spiritual, were not going on very well with the Lord, but he said, we have the mind of Christ. Did they have the mind of Christ? Yes, they did, because the Holy Spirit indwelt them. We're told very plainly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And he tells these Corinthians in the very first of this book that they had been sanctified and called saints. So they did have the mind of Christ because they had the Holy Spirit indwelling them. And therefore they could have known, and they could have understood, they could grow and go on to know the things of God because of the Holy Spirit indwelling them. Now, I'd like you, my friend, in closing, just to ask yourself, when was I born of God? When did I receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior? And if I have received him, am I being taught day by day by the Holy Spirit? Am I reading God's Word? Am I learning God's ways by the Spirit of God within me?